Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know what? We've got the first Tuesday of the month. And what do we always do on the first Tuesday of the month? We talk sports of all kinds. And today we're taking a look to begin the show at the Packers and the upcoming pro football season. And we have Pete Doherty with us. Great guy to have for this program. He's the Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network of Wisconsin. He's covered the Packers since 1993. And as we talk with Pete, I hope you'll join in with your questions. What are your predictions for this season? Got a favorite player you want to talk about? An experience you want to share? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Ideas@WPR.org. Pete Doherty, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Larry.
Well, you've come up with an anniversary next year. It'll be 30 years covering the Packers. That's a long time. What keeps you excited about the football and the Packers?
Yeah, actually, this is season 30. So,
Sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. No, it goes by really fast. It's just, it's always really interesting. I mean, in some ways, things haven't changed a bit from my first season. You know, it's, the human beings, human nature hasn't changed. It's football, still football. And in some ways it's changed a lot. You know, it's, even though it was a passing game back then, it's more of a passing game now. And of course, all the media has changed drastically with social media and everything. There's just it's just a really interesting game. The Packers are a historic franchise, one of the most iconic in North American sports. And they're Wisconsin's team, so the interest, and they have fans all over the world, as found out in the last 20 years. So it's it's interesting for any number of reasons.
Yeah, well, here they are now. They just released their initial 53-man roster. It was about a week or so ago. What are your takeaways from the cutdown?
You know, it's less of a thing than it was like when I first started, because the practice squads are so big, and because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is set up and free agency and everything, a lot of these decisions are made in March when contracts come up, and there are roster bonuses in March. So you either commit to a guy and you give him the big roster bonus, or you let him go. And then the draft, a lot of roster decisions are made leading up to, and then during the draft, of course. So there were no huge surprises. I think the thing, that I'm looking at and wondering is, how are David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins going to be? Is Bakhtiari going to play in the first game? Is he going to play in the first month? He's really had a really rough time coming back from that serious knee injury he had, a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, more than that even. And if he is playing early in the season, is he the same player than he was? This comeback has been, so rough. It's just, that's a wide open question on how good a player he's going to be. And, Jenkins is their second best guy on the line, and I think his recovery's been a lot smoother. Things look a lot better for him. But you're talking, those are their two best offensive linemen. You take the two best offensive linemen off any team, that's a really big blow. So I think that'll have a lot to do, especially with the loss of Davante Adams at receiver. They need to be as strong as they can be up front. That gives the offense more flexibility. You don't have to help, if Bakhtiari isn't playing, or if he's not the same player, then you got to start helping the left tackle more often on pass rush plays, and that changes your offense.
Yeah, it certainly would. And the other one, is Allen Lazard. As a receiver, is he going to play, do you think?
That injury has come out of nowhere, because I think he was practicing. So something must have happened in practice, the last practice they had last week, and they don't have to announce injuries. They don't have to say anything, so they're not. They don't want to give their opponents any information they don't have to. they'll have to come out with an injury report tomorrow. Today's an off day for the players. So Wednesday is when they have to do their first official injury report. So they'll have to say in general what the injury is, you know, foot, leg. Sometimes they'll say hamstring, knee. You know, they use it there as generic as they can be. So we'll learn a little more. But from what Matt LaFleur said yesterday, it sounds like it's, you know, shaky as far as whether Lazard's actually going to play. And we don't know what the injury is.
And that kind of creates a problem because then you're looking at, Sammy Watkins probably and Randall Cobb as the main guys without Lazard in there?
Yeah, and, you know, obviously they're not nearly the same receiving core they were last year because you take, you know, one of the best two or three receivers in the game off the roster. That changes a lot. Lazard's a good player, but they already don't have a receiver that a defense has to game plan around. The rookie Romeo Doubs is going to be an interesting player. He was their fourth round pick, and he jumped out from the start of camp. Almost every day he made a play or two where you go, you know, that's pretty good. You don't see that all the time. So he's going to play. He's going to be right in the thick of the rotation. He's going to make rookie mistakes that are going to upset the quarterback. But he's more talented than Lazard, than Cobb is at this stage in Cobb's career. You know, Christian Watson missed most of camp, so I would imagine he'll play, but maybe not as much as other guys. I think Dobbs could end up being a pretty important player for him, you know, as a rookie.
Yeah, but Rodgers, you know, he's said more than once, if you drop the ball, if you can't catch the ball, you're not going to be in there.
Yeah, I've seen it in practice and you see it in games. He controls who's out there a lot of the time. If somebody makes a mistake and he doesn't like it, he'll kick him off the field and he'll point to the coaching staff and say, he's out, and they make the substitution. So, you know, it's a heat of the moment thing. And, I'm sure he's not the easiest guy to play receiver for. But, you know, I've seen Tom Brady and other guys barking at their guys too. So it's part of the game. And they need guys like – well, not guys like – they need Doubs and Christian Watson, those two rookies, to grow up fast. They need to accelerate that because to do what they, you know, appears to be a realistic goal for them, which is winning it all, they need those guys to be good players by January.
Yeah. You know, Aaron Rodgers has had, I think he's now has a lot more say in personnel decisions, or it seems that way anyway. Has he had an impact, a big impact on the roster?
Well, there's at least one thing, because Randall Cobb would not be on this team if it weren't for Rodgers. So in that way, yeah. Now, I think part of it is, and I don't, you know, I'm just going by observation, not by anybody telling me this, but I think part of it was just him keeping him. He wanted to be informed of what was going on, especially at, you know, positions that affected him. But he just wanted to know what was going on and to feel like he was being listened to. And I get the sense the Packers, if I'm the Packers, when I do something that he wants to do, I make him feel like he had a say in it. And when you do things that you just feel like you got to do, you explain it to them and you just do it. And so I think that's probably how they're handling this. And the Cobb thing was they brought him back last year. I think that was part of what they had to do to get Rodgers to show up for the first day at training camp, which after that rough offseason they had, that made things a lot smoother that Rodgers was there from day one of camp.
Yeah. Pete Doherty, our guest today, talking the Packers. Questions or comments for him, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. You, thinking about Rodgers and Gutekunst, Brian Gutekunst certainly comes to mind pretty quickly. You recently interviewed the GM, Gutekunst, about Rodgers and Jordan Love. And maybe kind of talk, and you've got a nice piece on it, as a matter of fact, talking about the sort of the past, the present, and the future of the Packers.
Yeah, every I've been doing this, and the Press Gazette's been doing this forever, is they sit down with the GM usually about a week before the season starts and conduct a long interview, you know, 25 minutes to a half hour, and just basically run the transcript of the interview. And I've been doing it for, I don't know how much, I'd have to go back and look, I'm sure at least 20 years or so, I would guess. So yeah, we sat down last Thursday and talked for about a half hour, and there was a lot of, we talked, it was mostly, you know, two thirds of it was about Rodgers and Jordan Love. And I guess what jumped out to me about Rodgers as much as anything was, you know, because somebody asked him during camp, you know, because it was Brady's birthday during camp. And I think Brady turned 45, and somebody asked Rodgers, could you see playing till 45? And the question wasn't even, you know, fully out of the reporter's mouth, and Rodgers said no. So that made me wonder just how long is he going to go? And I know, you know, some people who are, you know, who work in the league and in media, who used to work in the league, who think, wondering if this is just going to be a one-year deal, even though, you know, it's longer than that. I think he's going to play three would be my best guess. But anyway, Gutekunst left the door open to him seeing Rodgers playing, you know, he didn't say a year or two beyond three, but he said, you know, beyond three. So maybe these next 3 years won't be his last 3 years. I mean, it's just who knows on that.
So what do you,
I guess with,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, then with Jordan Love, you know, the guy did show real improvement. This year, he was much better in camp than he was the previous 2 years, or even when he played last season. He was better at the end of camp than he was at the beginning of camp. I wouldn't put my money on him to be a winning starter, but I think that possibility still exists, at least. Of course, the Packers are saying that they think he is. There's just so many unknowns about how they're going to handle this going forward, you know, with his contract next year, the year after. There are so many possibilities and trade possibilities, and so much depends on how long Rodgers is going to play. It would take forever to go through all the, you know, potential scenarios. But as they're sitting now, they seem to feel, you know, pretty good about him, at least okay about him. And I would always argue, and I know there's a lot of people who would disagree, but I'd argue if he doesn't play a snap for the Packers from here on out, he still ended up being a good draft pick, because I think it was a great, great motivator for Aaron Rodgers to try to seize back. I think he felt like he lost control of his say in his career here, and he seized that back by going out and playing some of the best football of his career and winning back-to-back MVPs. And there's, if you go through the list of first-round picks around the league for the last 20 years, there's a lot of busts. You can get a lot less out of a first-round pick than, you know, motivating the guy to who becomes the MVP of the league. So I think it was a pretty good pick, no matter how things go.
That's a good, interesting and a good way to look at it. Pete Doherty, our guest today, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette, covered the Packers for 30 years now, and questions for him or comments, I hope you'll join in. Number's 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert's our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we take a look at the NFL season, getting some previews and predictions from our guest, Pete Doherty, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Great to have him along. Again, you can join in 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Well, I just want to, you know, it feels like the Packers have, if you think about the trades and everything else and their picks and so forth, they're putting more emphasis on their defense. And I think the Packers' defense is going to should be pretty darn good this year.
Yeah, and it, you know, it sure looked like that in training camp. I thought, I think anybody who was there every day for practice and watching it when they were doing 11-on-11 stuff, the defense definitely got the better of the offense throughout camp. It was almost a daily occurrence. Of course, the offense had its moments, but this is the first camp I can remember in a long time where you felt like the defense outplayed the offense. You know, they get Jair Alexander got hurt, and it was either the third or fourth game last year, basically missed the whole season, came back as a part-time player for the playoff game. But they, so, and he's an all-pro caliber player. So getting him back from that shoulder injury is like, you know, getting a, you know, signing a really high-priced free agent. And then they added, you know, their first two picks, Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt were both on defense. And Walker is going to be a starter, and he's going to play a lot. And Wyatt is off to a really shaky start. He hasn't done much, but I would still think before the season's done, he's going to be, you know, in the rotation on the defensive line. But yeah, then they signed Jaron Reed, a free agent defensive lineman who's, you know, been in the league for about 7 years, I think. And, you know, he looked pretty decent in camp, sort of this year's Devondre Campbell. I wouldn't make the predictions that he's going to be an all-pro like Campbell ended up being. But I think this could turn out to be a solid signing. Rashawn Gary was their best player on the practice field all camp. He looks like he's going to be a dominant player this year if he stays healthy. So, yeah, they have a lot going for them. On defense, if I were the Packers, I'd be worried about the depth at a few positions, outside linebacker and corner, you know, being at the top there, but even safety too. But if they're, you look at their top 11, you know, the 11 guys who are going to be out there most of the time, and, you know, you can add or two, a guy or two for their defensive line rotation, this is going to be, sure looks like it's going to be the best defense they've had since going back to probably when they won the Super Bowl in 2010 and in 2009. Those 2 years were pretty good defenses too. And they have a real chance to be a top five scoring defense this year. That would, if I were them, that would be the goal, is to be a top five scoring defense.
Mm. Tom and Cable, we'll give you a chance now. Tom, thanks for calling.
Hi. Hey, Larry. Hey, Mr. Daugherty. Quick question. Just wondering if you could just talk a little bit about our running game. And then also, since we don't have Devontae Adams anymore, and I still like our receivers, but are you looking to see more passing, you know, out of the backfield maybe, you know, stuff like that to kind of compensate for that? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, it sure looks like it. Their two best skill players on offense besides their quarterback are the running backs, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And they're both really good. I think Jones is a top 7 or 8 back, and Dillon's probably a top, you know, 20 for sure, and maybe even higher than that. It's as good, you know, there's a couple other teams that have really good, you know, top 2 backs, but the Packers are right there with anybody in that way. And they did. And I think if you think back to the, you know, Adams missed 7 games over the previous 3 seasons combined. And if you look back at those, I think, like, most notably, they played at Kansas City without him. And I think Aaron Jones caught, like, 5 screen passes that game. There's going to be a lot of screens, a lot of checkdowns, a lot of swing passes. Jones can line up at kind of as a slot receiver. He can do receiver routes and catches the ball pretty well doing that. So I think we'll see a lot of that. We also saw more of where both of those guys are on the field together. I would say when both were healthy last year, you know, they'd do it maybe 3 snaps a game. They'd have both guys out there. I'm thinking this year it's going to be more like, you know, 6 to 8 or 9. That might be as many as, you know, 9 or 10 snaps a game where those guys are out there together. You know, it can create some matchup problems. So, yeah, I would, if both stay healthy, you know, it's not out of the question for both of them to hit 1,000 yards rushing, especially with the 17th game. And they could both hit, I don't, you know, I'd have to look up the numbers, but if they each caught 50 passes, you know, I think that's very realistic, especially I mean, they're just going to throw the ball to the backs a lot. So, yeah, I think you're right on the money there, Tom.
And they really, as you say, they are really good backs. I mean, to have two backs like that, not every team has two backs with those kinds of abilities.
No, and Jones, you know, they're both good, and I know some people probably like Dylan better, but Jones, you know, I think is still the guy because he is so quick and explosive, and he can go the distance or rip off a huge run on any play. And that really scares defenses. And Dylan, you know, is a great compliment. It's good to have two good backs like that who are different kind of runners. And Dylan is a huge guy, a 245-pound guy who run, you know, a lot of power, really good straight line speed. So they're, you know, they bring different they challenge defenses in different ways. And so that is a huge strength of the offense. And they're going to get a ton of touches this year. And another thing to keep an eye on is, you know, Robert Tonyan coming back from the ACL surgery. He came back sooner than I would have guessed. He's already, you know, he's on the 53. So he's going to be playing early in the year. And it's a long recovery, and it takes a year for those guys to get back to full strength. Doctors of, you know, the orthopedists I've talked to said, you know, say that to get all, you know, for all the nerves to regrow in the rebuilt, reconstructed ACL, that takes a full year. That's from like months 9 through 12 where those nerves regenerate. And so if Tonyan is anything back to close to where he was before the injury, if he's there by November, December, you know, then the Packers have to be feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing the Packers haven't felt really good about always is special teams. What the heck is it about special teams? You'd think that would be an easy fix.
You would, and this has been going on since the late 90s or early 2000s. It's been a lot more bad than good. I've asked some scouts around the league about this, and the most interesting theory that I've heard is that teams with these elite quarterbacks, they don't necessarily, it's not a real conscious thing, but when they're making personnel decisions, you know, they lean towards less of an emphasis on special teams and more on what, you know, how a guy is on offense or defense, because they feel like the quarterback, oh, you know, if there's an issue with special teams, the quarterback will make up for it. And he thinks that can creep into an organization's mentality to the point where it's actually a problem. And so maybe I think there's a real good chance that was an issue here. And they went out and they hired Rich Bisaccia. He's making about $2 million a year, and from all signs suggest that makes him the highest paid special teams coach in the league. And, you know, it looks shaky in the preseason, their coverage units. I don't put any stock in that because, you know, a lot of those guys are checking out guys to see whether they should keep them or not. And a lot of those guys need to make the roster, all that. And even if they played great, that wouldn't have mattered, because all that mattered is how they play during the regular season when the games count. And with the way they've been on special teams for the last 20, 25 years, you know, I think the smart approach in watching them is they're guilty till they're proven innocent. And, you know, their trial starts this week.
Yeah. Well, almost anything would be an improvement. It wouldn't take much to improve, that's for sure. One of the players I always watch a lot because I loved him at Wisconsin was Russell Wilson. He was only here a year, but he had a huge impact on the Wisconsin Badgers. And now, what was it, last Wednesday, was it? He and the Denver Broncos signed a third most lucrative contract in NFL history in terms of guaranteed money. I think it was, what, $165 million, something like that? What does that deal mean for other quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, you know, the price just keeps going up. And, the breakdowns of these deals matter a lot for how much is guaranteed, how much is fully guaranteed. They have it gets a little arcane, but they have different kind of guarantees. If it's guaranteed for injury, it's really not guaranteed because the injury has to be career-ending. So if you hurt your knee really badly and you come back and you're not the same player and they cut you, the guarantee doesn't count. The injury has to be one where you can't pass the physical and you can't play football anymore. And those are still relatively rare. So I think his real guarantee was, you know, it was around, I think, what Rodgers got, like in the, you know, in a little over $100 million. But the price just keeps going up. And, I mean, that contract Deshaun Watson signed, that was, I think that was $250 million. And I think that was fully, that whole thing is guaranteed. So it is. It's, you know, they're like with the quarterbacks are the only ones who are getting NBA-like contracts as far as average pay and guarantees. But, you know, the price goes up. And one thing to always remember is it's not like they pay these guys more so then they go out and get a better TV contract or they you know, raise ticket prices. You know, it's the other way around. Ticket prices keep going up and the TV contract keeps going up, so the salaries go up. It's, you know, that's the way that works. So it's the market talking. And, look, quarterbacks are everything in this game. You got to have at least a decent one to have a chance. And if you have a great one, you have a chance every year.
Yeah. Let's go to Ralph in Milwaukee. Ralph, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. I was curious about the other NFC North teams and what Pete has knowledge of the teams for the upcoming season and how he thinks the Packers might fare against them. I don't keep up with the other teams and knowing whether they got a new coach, head coach or whatever. So I was just curious what knowledge Pete could share there.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so coaching changes in Chicago and Minnesota, and I think especially Minnesota will benefit from it. I think things got stale or even, you know, worse than that. It was just a bad vibe up there with at the end of Mike Zimmer's term, and his relationship with the quarterback was shot. You know, Cousins is a pretty decent quarterback, but and his career, I know they play 17 games now, but he's been a 9-7 quarterback his whole career. I'm just not sure I see that changing. And they turned over their personnel. I've seen where, you know, some people are predicting that they could be one of the surprise teams and picking them as a playoff team. They might be a little better than last year, but I'm just not sure Kirk Cousins, it's ever going to happen, you know, with him up there. But, you know, I would say the Vikings are the second best team in the division. Chicago's kind of starting over, a really young quarterback. A lot will depend on how much Justin Fields has improved and then improves during the season. The Lions, you know, I think I get the feeling they really like their coach and, you know, the players, and that he's could end up being good at getting a lot out of guys. But, again, that quarterback, Jared Goff, just an okay quarterback. There are real limitations there. So, I mean, the Packers have to be the clear cut. Campbell, the coach, is in his Dan Campbell's in his second season now. So I would guess they should be quite a bit better. But whether they'll even be a 500 team, I don't know that I would bet on that. The Packers, you know, have to be the clear favorite in the division. With you know, the Vikings would be the team you would guess would have the second best chance. But, you know, every year in this league, I mean, it is every year, there are one or two teams that come out of nowhere that were bad the previous season that end up being pretty good and making the playoffs. And no one ever knows who that team is going in. So who knows? Maybe one of these teams, something will really work and they'll be very good and they'll surprise a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, this first game coming up on Sunday, I've been thinking about Za'Darius Smith a little bit and the kind of havoc he could cause the Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, and again, that gets back to, you know, Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari. Which of those guys, is either of them going to play? Would both play? If they both play, neither has had any game action for quite a while after a really serious injury and surgery. So, you know, how are they going to play? Because the Vikings have good outside rushers. I mean, Danielle Hunter, their other one, he's a good outside rusher too. So I don't know. I'm sure Za'Darius Smith is, you know, I'm sure he would have rather come back and played for the Packers, but the Packers cut him. And so I'm sure he's going to be hell-bent to stick it to him in this game, and he's a very talented guy. So they are probably going to have a plan, to chip block him or double team him on third downs, third and long, because as we saw when he was with the Packers, he's a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that first game of the season. Last year they didn't play very well at the beginning of the season.
Well, that first game was
terrible.
Total disaster that first game was. That was as bad an opener as a team could have. And that's the one thing, is weird things happen in the NFL, the first week especially, and even the first month. And so one of the things you learn covering the league going into year 30 is you don't overreact, good or bad, to how things go for any team early, because strange things happen, and it is a really, really long season. The Packers got blown off the field by the Saints last year in that opener, and they still ended up with the best record in the NFC. So it's a game, and it counts in the standings, so it's important. But how a team plays in the first game in September is way, way, way less important than how they're playing in January.
Who are the other NFC teams? What do you think about the Rams this year?
I can see why people – I saw where Peter King picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, and I could see why, because almost all the top quarterbacks are in the AFC. And, the NFC is just – it's just there for the taking for a lot of teams. And the Rams are good, and they got Matthew Stafford's a very good quarterback, and Cooper Kupp, and they've got – Aaron Donald, who's the best defensive player in the league and one of the best handful in history. But it is so hard to repeat. The mental challenge of that is so hard. 49ers are talented and good, but is their quarterback, is Trey Lance any good? Who knows? Tom Brady and the Bucs, I don't think they're quite as good as they were last year and the year before. We'll see. But, there are good teams. But, the Packers' chances are as good as anybody. And like I said earlier, just a couple minutes ago, for all we know, there's some team that won four games last year, five games, that could end up being really good. If you think back to the late 90s, remember the Rams? They were terrible for on the better part of a decade, and they went from 3-13 to 13-3 and winning the Super Bowl, and that all happened in one offseason. So you never know.
And you mentioned Tom Brady, and I think he's Stafford. Stafford's, I think, injured. I heard he was injured. And Tom Brady has some home front problems.
Yeah, Stafford had some kind of elbow injury, it sounds like, last year and this year. He says he played through it and managed it last year, and he played fine. So he played really well. So, but it's I get the sense it's worse this year. He had to miss some time in camp, and that's something to monitor, because, obviously that's everything rides on, for that team, on his throwing arm.
Yeah. And Brady, how do you think his team's going to do this year?
I still think their defense is really good, but, a couple of those guys are getting a little older, and that's when the slow decline kicks in, and teams aren't they're just not quite as good, because on defense you have to have on offense, you only need a great quarterback and a bunch of average guys, and you have a really good offense. On defense, you've got to have – to have a really, really good defense, you've got to have four or five very, very good players, pretty top-level players. And as soon as they start – some of those guys start slipping, you're still good, but you're not as good. And I wonder if they're getting close to that stage on defense. But, Brady, he's just an unbelievable player and a competitor. So, you just can't count them out. And they still do have a lot of talent on defense and at receivers. So, they're one of the teams that you would think will be right in the thick of it also.
Yeah. And as far as the game this week, do you ever make predictions on the games?
Yeah, we have to for the paper, we have to make a pick every week. And so I haven't made mine. I saw the Packers are a 1-point favorite for whatever, anybody thinks that's worth. I'm guessing I'll go with the Packers. I think they won't open I think that was a shock to the system how poorly they played in the opener last year, and they've done some things in camp to try to avoid that this year. So I'm thinking they'll play. They haven't been reading their clippings like they did last year, and I think they thought just showing up they were going to win that game. You know, if you remember, that was New Orleans had to go to Jacksonville to play a home game, so everybody thought, you know, that would be a disaster for them. And I think the Packers thought if they just showed up, they had it. So I'll probably end up picking the Packers, but, you know, division game, and the Vikings are good, and they have some talent, and, you know, we'll see if that coaching change has rejuvenated them, although it might take, you know, a month or so for that to kick in, too, with, you know, learning their new offensive system.
Well, I just look at the quarterbacks in this situation, Aaron Rodgers versus Kirk Cousins, and Rodgers is simply a better quarterback, so maybe that's that one point that they're giving.
You know, Larry, that's always, when in doubt, go with the better quarterback. I mean, that's always a smart move.
Well, Pete, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. Hope we can do this again down the road.
Oh, sure. Call anytime, and thanks for having me, Larry.
Pete Doherty, Packers columnist for the Green Bay Press Gazette and USA Today Network, Wisconsin. He covered the Packers for 30 years. This year is his 30th year covering the Packers, and a nice guy, too, and a lot of fun to talk to. And it's going to be a lot of fun to talk with our next guest as well as we take a look at high school sports in Wisconsin with Stephanie Hauser, the executive director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. That's next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.